Welcome to Hope is Here. My name is Greg Horn, and one of the things I've been trying to do this year is try to read more books, books that fill my heart with mind, my mind and heart with things that are God-honoring and grow my relationship in Him. I shared with you Everybody Always with Bob Goff. I've shared several programs on that. Would really recommend that. It's a good read. It's not very hard, or it'll make you laugh, it'll cry, it'll help you grow spiritually. It's a great summer book. Paperback, you can get it on sale. I think I got mine at Lifeway for like $12 in tax, with tax. So, man, I encourage you to pick that up. Another book that I'm reading recently, I got for my birthday, a good friend Ann Reinhold gave it to me, called Killing Kryptonite. It's by one of my favorite authors, John Bevere, and he wrote a book called The Bait of Satan. And if you are looking for another book to read, I would highly recommend it. I think you get it at half price bookstores. Probably it's a paperback, probably for $8 by now, maybe $9 at most. But The Bait of Satan talks about being offended. And man, as Christians, followers of Jesus, way too many times do we get offended. Satan uses the spirit of offense to just cause disharmony in churches. And I've seen it over and over again as I've been on staffs at different churches in my life. And just want to encourage you, if you struggle with being offended, maybe say, well, I don't know if I do or not, ask God. He'll tell you, and I think you'll realize most of us do. But that's one of the top 10 books I've ever read in my 53 years of life, The Bait of Satan by John Bevere. But his newest book is called Killing Kryptonite, and the subtitle is Destroy What Steals Your Strength. Well, obviously, most of us grew up knowing about Superman, and the only thing that could stop him was kryptonite. And so there's things in our life that stop us from having the abundance that God wants us to have in our lives. John 10:10, Jesus warned us, okay, that the enemy comes to steal and to kill and destroy. But I love, in the next breath, Jesus says, but, which cancels out that first part, I have come so that you may have life and have it abundantly, have it to the full. Now, that may not mean necessarily like lots of financial riches. It does mean that you're going to have food and shelter, all right? But it's saying whatever happens in your life, you can deal with it because God is with you. Jesus is with you. We read Psalm 23 at funerals all the time, but Sherry Mathery shared it earlier this week, and she learned that as a child when she was shot in the head close range, that she walked through the valley of the shadow of death, but she could remember that verse and how it helped her even though she walked through it. The Bible says God is with you, and so you need to get God's word in your heart and your mind. And the part I want to share about to help fight against the enemy, which is our kryptonite, who does come to steal and kill, and just so you didn't get how serious this is, Jesus said, and destroy. I've seen him destroy Christian marriages, businesses, people's life, suicide, Kate Spade, Anthony Bourdain. They had all the stuff the world says important. Fame, fortune, you know, their bank account unlimited. And could do what they want. On top of that, God had blessed them both with precious daughters. And yet, they let the enemy steal, kill, and destroy their lives. And they committed suicide by hanging themselves. And nobody saw it coming. And the fact of the matter is today that I want to share with you that kryptonite in your mind where you start believing those lies of the enemy. In chapter 3, it talked about John Bevere said, God wants your whole life, not just your Sunday mornings. If you're not living your entire life, that's work, family, hobbies, music, TV, as worship to God, Bevere says, I want to encourage you to repent today. Repent today. And I mean, you know, that's a beautiful thing when you can do that, that God will allow you to do that. We can ask for forgiveness, and we all get things out of perspective. None of us are perfect. But, you know, we shared Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 8 through John Eldridge's newsletter last month in June from his Ransom Heart Ministries. And yeah, I love the acronym that stands for this, that Sharon Calhoun put together, CARP. If you look at that, you can see it tells us just in those five verses that we're chosen, we're adopted, we're redeemed, we're forgiven. Okay. Carf, C-A-R-F. And so, you know, it's just, it's great to know that, and I got it, I'm sorry, I missed the L, loved. Man, chosen, loved, adopted, and forgiven. Okay, Clarf, C-L-A-R-F. You need to know that you're chosen. Satan may be lying to you and say that, you know, man, nobody cares. Nobody, all the lies, nobody cares what you think, what you do, your coworkers, your neighbors, your family. But friends, if you'll go back and read Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 8 that we talked about in yesterday's program, then you will realize God chose you. It says you are loved. God loved you so much, he sent his one and only son, Jesus. I love a lot of people, but I can count the number of people on one hand that I'd lay my life down for. God gave up his one and only son. And I go to the hospital and make visits with friends of mine when they have precious little babies. And I see the little fingernails, the little toenails. I just think, every time, I think this is how Jesus came into this world. And I think how much he loved me and how painful it had to be at the age of 33 when he had to turn his back on his one and only son. Because some of you may not remember, but I want to remind you that Jesus, before he went to the cross, was on his knees and he was praying so hard that it says his tears became like blood. And that is a physical, biological fact. You can Google it, okay? When we get so stressed out about something, our sweat, our tears, the sweat can become blood. And Jesus did that, which shows me, and he even said to his Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father, if it be thy will, remove this cup, which is a fancy word of just saying, hey, if I don't have to do this, take this awful death at the cross, I'm okay with that. You know, if we can save the world and save the future people that are coming behind me, the humans, you know, the human race, it's okay. But thy will be done on earth and heaven. And yet, his Father, you know, Heavenly Father, no, you've got to do that. So, you know, a lot of people don't like to discipline their kids, but friends, I'm seeing so many friends of mine, and I just see people and over that are enabling their kids. And I'm not talking about being ugly and all, but, you know, man, just be careful. Just be careful. Because the Bible says God disciplines those he loves. Yet, if you don't feel loved, you can't love others. And you do discipline not out of love, but out of anger and out of hate. Some people say, well, you know, I didn't have a father. I didn't have a mom. You know, I love in that passage, Ephesians chapter 1, it says that we are adopted. There are no orphans with God. There used to be a beautiful song, a young lady named Leatrice Smathers sang that, Orphans of God. When I was on staff at Northeast Christian, and just would bring tears to my eyes because so many people I know feel like orphans, yet because of Jesus, we are all adopted sons and daughters of God if we humble ourselves and say, hey, I need a Savior. And we're redeemed. We've done chosen, we've done loved, we've done adopted, we've done redeemed. We're spelling out the word CLARF, C-L-A-R-F, from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. Eight simple verses. Get your Bible out and read those. We're redeemed. Man, we always talk about, I like to redeem the time and the past. Well, our lives can be redeemed, whatever we have left, if we humble ourselves and say, Jesus, help me. And then the final letter for the, in so powerful, forgiven. The letter F, forgiven. Friends, the Bible tells us that we will be judged or forgiven as much as we've forgiven those. And when we don't forgive others, we're judging them. Let's just be honest. And we put sins in a box on what people do, and we become judge and don't forgive people. And the Bible tells us, Jesus told us when he was here, that, you know, the same measuring stick that you use to judge others, in other words, not to forgive them for being hurt. And The Bait of Satan by John Bevere is a great book to read about being offended. That same measuring stick will be used against you. So, friends, I want to encourage you to be careful. As followers of Jesus, a lot of times we can get guilty of trying to be a little bit holier than thou. And it's not God-honoring. It's not God-honoring. So I want to ask you today, what is it in your life that's not God-honoring? You know, one time, God, as I was preparing a lesson, I was writing the boxes that we have in our lives. We have our home. You know, we have our friends. We have another box with family. We have a box with maybe, you know, working out, physical. We have a financial box, you know, what we do with our money. And a box with social / fun, what do we do? We have a guide box, you know, a lot of times. You know, yeah, I go Sunday morning, throw a little bit of money in the plate or go online, and which is great. But, you know, it's a little box, and yet God just clearly said to me one day, he said, you know, Greg, I'm not just in one box. I'm in all the boxes. I created all the boxes, and I would just love it if you would invite me to be a part of all these boxes. I can bless them and do things in all these boxes so much better if you just invite me to be a part of them. I'm the creator of all them, and I enabled you to have these boxes because I love you. And so John Bevere's new book, Kryptonite, reminded me that God wants my whole life, not just Sunday mornings. And so I want to remind you today that what is it that you need to say, God, I'm sorry, I've kind of left you out of this area of my life. It could be what TV shows you watch. It could be a friendship you have that you know is not God-honoring. It could be stuff on the internet. It could be money you're spending. You know, I know one of the things I'm trying to work on, I'm struggling, but I'm getting a little better, is food. Man, I've been using it for comfort the last few years. And, you know, a lot of times as followers of Jesus, man, we excuse that one of gluttony. Yet I've used that a lot to be able to hide pain and stuff, loneliness and anger and whatever. And yet I'm asking God to help me with that. And it's a slow process. I take two steps forward and one backwards. But as one of my friends reminded me, hey, you're still one step forward or 1 pound less. And so I just want to encourage what John Bevere in his book, Kryptonite, Killing Kryptonite, said. Ask Jesus to give you vision for what a lifestyle of worship looks like in your life. What that means is just, you know, every day looking and seeing. What is that? And I love to see when I invite God as I leave my house in the morning to say, God, show me where you're working today, what he does. He wants to, but you've got to invite him. God's a gentleman. He won't force himself on you. Some of you know people that are shut-ins, or maybe you're shut-in. You're like, I can't drive. I can't do things. But you know what? I've heard sometimes when you need a friend, the best thing you do is be a friend. And that means you feel like it. But I know so many times when I'm just keeping it real with you, I don't like making hospital visits. I just I don't like being in them. You know, there's sickness and death and things. I'm not a germ freak, germ phobia. I don't, none of that stuff. But, you know, every time I go and I try to be obedient and go when I know that I need to and supposed to, but I do pray the simple prayer, Lord, help me to be a blessing to the person I'm seeing, any family or friends, and the nurses or doctors. I mean, like a 10-second prayer. And I'm telling you, 99.9% of the time when I leave the hospital, I feel better. I feel blessed. And you know, we're blessed to be a blessing. And the final question I want to ask you today, I got to wrap it up, but I want to ask you, what does your calendar look like? We just started the month of July. What's your schedule look like? Where is there time to be still and know that he is God? Psalm 46:10. You know, there's a lot of good things to do out there, but we make almost everything great. And sometimes the best thing you can do is just say, I'm sorry, I can't do that, and have a night at home and turn your TV off. I did that last night and read some of this book, Killing Kryptonite by John Bevere, and turned that TV off and went to bed at a decent hour, and I slept the best I've slept in a long time. And so I just want to encourage you, take a look at your calendar and invite God to be in all the boxes and all the days on your schedule. I'm Greg Horn. We'll see you next time on Hope Is Here.
CMI is your full-service human resources provider in Central Kentucky. For 15 years, CMI Human Resources has taken great pride in helping organizations and people work. Whether it's employee handbooks or help in filling a position, no job is too large or too small for CMI. Contact the professionals today at CMI Human Resources, 859-296-2800, or online at cmiconsulting.com.